DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
Well, what I want to get at is, what were you experiencing as you were going through the debate? Did you know how badly it was going?
Yeah, look. The whole way I prepared, nobody's fault, mine. Nobody's fault but mine. I prepared what I usually would do, sitting down, as I did come back with foreign leaders or the National Security Council, for explicit detail. And I realized about partway through that, you know, all the, I get quoted, the New York Times had me down at 10 points before the debate, 9 now or whatever the hell it is. The fact of the matter is that what I looked at is that he also lied 28 times. The way the debate ran, not my fault, no one else's fault.
But it seemed like you were having trouble from the first question in, even before he spoke.
Well, I just had a bad night.
That is President Joe Biden. Now, that's the interview that was make or break from Joe Biden's perspective. It was broadcast last night on ABC News. The host is George Stephanopoulos. In case you're unfamiliar, George Stephanopoulos rose to fame as a senior advisor in the Clinton administration. So he is a Democrat gene pool. He is Democrat by electoral preference. This is not to suggest that he's not objective. But in terms of an interviewer that an incumbent Democratic president could face, it isn't like going against a Sean Hannity or somebody who is very clearly on the other end of the political spectrum. So if ever there was a potential open goal, this was it. And Joe Biden had effectively two tasks that he had to deliver on. He had to come up with a coherent reason as to why the debate went so badly. And you can hear his response there. It essentially boiled down to, I had a cold and it was a bad night. And he had to give evidence that he was cognitively well enough to function as president for another 4 years. That wouldn't have been too difficult were it not for the precedent that he had set in the debate, because we have seen ever since the debate that Democratic fundraisers have been wary of putting their money behind the president. And we have seen senior Democrats saying that at this point it would be better for the electoral chances of the party if he were to step down. Now, at the same time, we've seen a lot of senior Democrats saying he is our man, he has beaten Trump in 2020, and he can do it again. So a lot hinged on his performance last night with George Stephanopoulos. Larry Donnelly is with us, law lecturer at the University of Galway. Larry, this was high stakes. The end result, has he managed to put to bed the concerns that were hanging around him?
No, I don't think he did anywhere near enough to do that. That said, he was better than he was in the debate. Not that that's saying very much, but I think he even was not good in this interview. At times, he was, again, struggling for words. And then on the content, Anton, two things struck me. One is that he said he didn't watch the debate back. That, to me, is extraordinary. When you screw up that badly, to not watch it back and say, okay, where did I go wrong?
Well, sorry, Larry, can I cut in there? Because I think even the phraseology around that is important. If he had been so definite as to say, I did not watch it, it would be one thing and bad enough. The actual line, and we heard it there, was, I don't think so. I don't think I watched it. He's not even sure.
Yeah, it was poorly phrased. But I mean, the reality is, if you don't watch that back and say, how can I never, ever repeat that those mistakes again? That to me bespeaks a certain arrogance, or I don't exactly know what to say, but I think he certainly should have watched that debate back. The second thing, and I think this is something that will stick in the minds of American people, and I think some Republicans will point to this, was he refused when asked to take a cognitive test. He said instead that he takes a cognitive test every day in his role as president of the United States. I think Republicans will point to something. I think a lot of Americans will think it is, if he were so fine, if he was so confident about his abilities, why would he not take a cognitive test that would set him free, so to speak? And the conclusion that I think a lot of them will draw is that he's unwilling to do so because he would do very poorly on the cognitive test. So no, the interview was not a success. He was better than the debate, but I think the issues around capacity and age are going to continue to plague him, and the moves to push him aside are going to continue and gather pace.
Well, one of the questions that Stephanopoulos asked him was the question that has been, I think, on everybody's mind, which is what toll his time in office has taken on him. Here's what he said.
But what has all that work over the last 3.5 years cost you physically, mentally, emotionally?
Well, I just think it cost me a really bad night, bad run. But, you know, I'm optimistic about this country. I don't think we're a country of losers, that he points out. I don't think America's in tough shape. I think America's on the cusp of breaking through in so many incredible opportunities. This next term, I'm going to make sure we have straighten out the tax system. I'm going to make sure we're in a situation where we have health care for all people, where we're in a position where we have child care and elder care, free up, and all these things. One thing I'm proudest of is, remember when my economic plan was put forward, a lot of the mainstream economists said it's not going to work. Well, guess what? We now have 16 Nobel laureates, 16 of them in economics, saying that Biden's next term would be, based on what he wants to do, enormous success. Trump's plan would cause a recession, would significantly increase inflation. I've made great progress, and that's what I plan on doing. And we can do this.
I understand that, and I'm not disputing that. What I'm asking you is about your personal situation. Do you dispute that there have been more lapses, especially in the last several months?
Can I run the 110 flat? No. But I'm still in good shape.
Are you more frail?
No.
Were it not in the context of the debate, it wouldn't be that bad, Larry, but he had to have an absolutely barnstorming performance. And if you put that up against the kind of mental acuity that we would have seen from an Obama, that we would have seen from a Clinton, that we even would have seen from a Reagan when there were questions about his age, albeit he was only, I think, 69 at the time, that wouldn't hold a candle to any of them. Are we at the point again now of senior Democrats saying it's Kamala Harris time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's manifestly clear that to me at this stage that he has to go. Even in that response, extremely faltering, unable to really respond to the question and unable to respond to the question candidly. You mentioned Ronald Reagan there. And when Reagan was questioned about age, he always had this brilliant way of diffusing it with humor. Biden can't even call on that. And it was very telling what he reverted to in the context of that answer was this idea that people said this about him and he proved them wrong. I'm told by people who know the president that he has an obsession with proving his detractors wrong. And while that might be even an admirable facet of somebody's persona in other contexts, here, I think that stubbornness is going to be his undoing. He also said that God Almighty would be the only person who could talk him out of this race. I think that will be deeply disturbing to a lot of Democrats. Now, in terms of a replacement, yes, in many ways, Kamala Harris would be the most expedient choice for a whole host of reasons. However, she is not the most electable of those candidates who could go forward and replace Joe Biden. I think Kamala Harris would face myriad problems. Number one, her favorability ratings are lower than Biden's. Number two, immigration has been her special task. It's going to be a huge issue in the election. Trump will hammer her on that. And the third thing, and I'm not sure how many listeners will be aware of this, but Harris was tied pretty closely to the Black Lives Matter movement, which is hugely unpopular in the United States. Republicans will be beating the drum on that from day one if she were to replace Joe Biden.
You mentioned earlier on, Larry, that the critical question, I mean, there were two things. Why did the debate go so badly wrong? And secondly, your cognitive capacity. And that one of the things that Biden wasn't able to answer was, would he do an independent cognitive test? Which is one of those things where if you are confident in your cognition, you would, one would have thought, have no problem in so doing. Here's him being pressed several times on that issue.
I know you said you have an ongoing assessment. Have you had a full neurological and cognitive evaluation?
I get a full neurological test every day with me. And I've had a full physical. I had, you know, I mean, I've been a Walter Reed for my physicals. I mean, yes. Look, I have a cognitive test every single day. Every day I have that test. Everything I do. You know, not only am I campaigning, but I'm running the world. And that's not how it sounds like hyperbole. But we are the essential nation in the world. Madeleine Albright was right. And every single day, for example, today, before I come out here, I'm on the phone with the Prime Minister of, anyway, I shouldn't get into the detail, but with Netanyahu. I'm on the phone with the new Prime Minister of England. I'm working on what we're doing with regard to, in Europe, with regard to expansion of NATO and whether it's going to stick. I'm taking on Putin. I mean, every day, there's no day I go through that are not those decisions I have to make every single day.
And you have been doing that, and the American people have been watching, yet their concerns about your age and your health are growing. So that's why I'm asking, to reassure them, would you be willing to have the independent medical evaluation?
Watch me between, there's a lot of time left in this campaign.
So the answer,
make a decision.
The right answer right now is no, you don't want to do that right now.
I've already done it.
So if you're a betting man, Larry Donnelly, does he remain on the ticket for November?
At this stage, you know, it's impossible to tell, but I think that he should step aside objectively. Whether he can be prevailed upon to do so is hard to know. I think that the chorus is going to get louder and louder. My guess is, yes, he probably will have to step aside. But the real shame of this for the Democrats is these conversations shouldn't be happening right now. They should have happened a year ago. And the fact that this has been allowed to go on as long as it has is a profound shame for them and a real indictment of the inner workings of the Democratic National Committee. That does not sound like a man who exudes energy, regardless of what he says. He sounds and looks like a man who has passed it, and that has been evident for a long, long time now.
Larry, thank you very much. That's Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.